News. I'm Daria Albinger. They were in the same state, but hundreds of miles apart. President Biden and former President Trump on the Texas border, with immigration a key issue in the 2024 election. Mr. Trump in Eagle Pass.
This is a Joe Biden invasion. This is a Biden invasion over the past 3 years.
The president in Brownsville.
Folks, the bipartisan border security deal is a win for the American people. And it's a win for the people of Texas, and it's fair for those who legitimately have a right to come here.
He's urging Congress to reconsider the deal. Jack Teixeira, the young Massachusetts Air National Guardsman accused of leaking classified military documents and posting them online, has reportedly reached a plea deal with federal prosecutors. Three police officers and a court employee were shot while serving an eviction notice at a home in Independence, Missouri. One of the officers and the employee died. Former U.S. Ambassador to Bolivia Manuel Rocha plans to plead guilty to spying for Cuban intelligence. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans who control the state's cash flow will not free up $125 million to fight PFAS pollution around Wisconsin. Governor Evers plans to veto a bill that includes that money, but offered to keep the money in to preserve the state's regulatory powers. The Joint Finance Committee is also not acting today on $15 million for health care services in and around Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls. The governor used his line item veto to expand the scope of that bill. More electric buses are on the road in Wisconsin. Susan Mudd is an advocate with the Environmental Law and Policy Center.
Riders, including the drivers, will experience zero tailpipe emissions, which they now do because fumes, unfortunately, often get recirculated.
Vehicles have overtaken power plants as America's largest source of carbon emissions. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Thanks to the unseasonably warm weather, a golf course near Cloquet is set to open this week. Big Lake Golf Resort has announced it will open Friday through Sunday starting this week as long as the weather continues to allow it. The nine-hole golf course will open a little later in the morning than usual at 11 a.m. to allow time for some of the frost to melt off of the greens. They will also stay open until 6 p.m. on warmer weekends. A number of other courses in the region have also considered opening early due to the warmer weather. Ashland officials are warning residents that an elevated level of lead has been discovered in the drinking water in some buildings. City of Ashland officials say the city's finished drinking water doesn't contain lead and only certain places have been affected. The city did not share a list of the impacted buildings. If Ashland residents want to have their water tested for lead, they can submit a sample to a certified lab or contact the Public Works Department. The city says it's committed to replacing its service piping. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Brewers lose to the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers losing to the Chicago Cubs 6-1. Brewers manager Pat Murphy on seeing Craig Counsell in a Cubs uniform for the first time.
It's weird seeing him in those colors, but you know, that's what reality is right now. Move on. But yeah, every time we see each other, we exchange pleasantries, but we're both worried about getting our club ready to play the regular season.
NBA, the Bucks are in Charlotte against the Hornets. Milwaukee looking to make it 4-0 since the All-Star break. College hoops, Marquette trounced Providence 91-69. But one of the Golden Eagles' best players, Tyler Kolek, had to leave the game. Head coach Shaka Smart.
Tyler, don't know exactly the extent of his injury, but he went out there. You guys saw he wasn't able to stay in the game, so he's getting checked out right now.
It's an oblique injury for Tyler?
Looks like it. Something in that area.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
A I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a clear sky and lows in the upper 20s. Sunny and warmer into tomorrow, a high in the low 50s. And continued warming into this weekend with sunshine and mid-50s expected on Saturday. Low 60s, partly sunny and windy Sunday. Right now it's 33.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, boom! Welcome, Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Wednesday night, educators amplified are in the house. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, ready to rock it. Johnny Lupinacci, we are all here. We're going to, you know, have some fun tonight like we do on Wednesday. And the challenge out there from last Wednesday, the phones were literally off the hook. Let's see if you all can do it again tonight with bringing it in. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, Educators Amplified. You know, definitely the numbers 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You're listening. You know, hey, Johnny, always got to remind people, though, too, Civic Media. If you're the app, they got to get the app. They can get it from Google. They can get it from, you know, the App Store. And with the Civic Media app, doesn't matter where you are, you can listen to Busted Pencils anywhere. We've been saying, Finland, Iceland.
I have a funny story for you, Tim, about that coming up one of these days. Whenever you're ready for a little surprise,
we'll be ready. But download that app because not just Busted Pencils, all of the shows on Civic Media are available for you. Check them out. You know, you're always in touch. The Civic Media app. Johnny Lupinacci. Wow, look at that caller right away. And there's Papa Rico in the text right there. Brought my Apple and I found that darn number 2 pencil.
Always Papa
Steven. We got Steven. Okay, we always got to let Steven jump on because we all know that's where he's going to be headed after he hangs up the phone. Steven from Green Bay, what's happening, our friend?
What's up? My two favorite voices on the radio. I missed you on Monday when I called. I heard that pre-recorded content stuff, and I was like, what is going on? But I'm glad you guys are on tonight.
Oh, yeah.
We're back. Monday had a little bump, but go ahead, Steven.
So I noticed something the other day. I was sitting in the park, and there was a teacher that brought her class of special needs students to the park because it was such a nice day yesterday. And it was a group of around 7 or 8 people, but there was only one teacher and there was no aides with all these special needs kids. And you could tell she was really struggling, you know, directing all these kids and what they're supposed to do. And I just felt absolutely horrible for this teacher. I almost wanted to hop out of my car and help her, but I knew I couldn't do that. But I just got to thinking, I'm like, is this how it is with class sizes, especially with special needs students in schools? Because if it is, that's absolutely unacceptable.
Steven, you called perfect night. It's Educators Amplified night. Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie in the house. I mean, I say right to them. Is this just normal for special education teachers to not have nearly enough support? Go, you two.
Well, the Hallie,
yes.
Yeah, Hallie is a special education teacher. And the short answer is yes. And especially there is a big shortage of aides and assistants and qualified people to help. And then there's also budget shortages that make that seem even more difficult. But Stephen, boy, do we appreciate that, you know, our citizens like you who notice. And I bet you there are special ed teachers out there wishing they only had 7 and 8 students. Now, I don't think that's how it should be, but you know, case numbers and class numbers are really high in many areas.
Well, especially with students with intensive special needs, they do actually deserve and need one-on-one aides. Mm. And I think in my entire career, I've never seen that, you know? And so, you know, it used to be like maybe like a 3-to-1 ratio. And now, right, you saw it's a 7-to-8-to-1 ratio. I mean, it's so wrong for children and then obviously teachers.
Joanna, you look like you had a little more to add.
Saying kudos to the teacher, too, for getting the kids outside. Like, it's even harder to do. Like, that kind of not having enough assistance, again, can prevent you or sometimes has to prevent you from being able to even do that kind of stuff with your students. So, and thank you, Stephen, for being supportive and noticing.
Hey, yeah, Stephen, and just that, but get out of the, you know, stop over there and say, hey, how can I help you? I'm sure that teacher wouldn't have minded. I mean, especially if they know that it's Stephen from Green Bay on the Busted Pencils radio show. They're like, oh, my God, you're Stephen. You're that guy. Absolutely.
No. Hallie and I went, you know, we would take our kids on walks. And sometimes, though, we would get stopped by neighbors where we're like, okay, we can't talk. We got to, we're like with the kids. We can't, like, talk to you right now. But we...
Or a little freeze right there on the teacher, Joanne.
I was actually going to say the opposite, where I actually was going to say I appreciate Steve not stepping in, and I appreciate him more telling, you know, like, tell your neighbors, like, if this was a surprise, like, to me, I'm like, oh, yeah, duh. But it doesn't even enter my mind that, like, that is news to people. So then I say, well, thank you, Stephen. Go tell your neighbor. Go tell your friend. You're like, yes, that is how it is in schools.
Well, there it is. Stephen, we appreciate Johnny.
What a wild weather shift. What a wild weather shift you all going through. It was like spring, almost summer for a day. Then there were tornado warnings. When Tim and I were on yesterday, we were talking and we hear the radio give the warning out. And then also, wow, just back to cold, huh?
Yeah. My goodness. I left this morning at around 6:30 this morning in a tornado warning to head out. I did. It was 67 degrees. I had no jacket. 3 hours later, and I came out of my meeting. Holy crap. I was like, why did I not wear a jacket? Crazy. The weather is crazy. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. The number is 844-967-2789. It is Wednesday night. Educators Amplified are in the house. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna. And hey, this week it is Public Schools Week in Wisconsin. Stephen opens it up right there. What does it truly mean to support public education and teaching? That's one of the questions we're putting out there. Public Schools Week. Okay, Teacher Hallie, what does Public Schools Week mean to Teacher Hallie?
You know, it's kind of hard because I will fully say that I feel like I'm a bit jaded of like, I am sick of these celebratory weeks that really mean nothing. I mean, maybe I just sound like a bitter Betty today, but I don't mean to, but it's a lot of lip service. It's a lot of, you know, the email comes through from the administrator like, oh, we want to honor teachers on public school week, but don't forget to, you know, work till your full contract hours and only pay to wear jeans on Fridays, you know. So I appreciate that. I do believe that we have some, you know, organizations in Wisconsin that work to have it be more of an advocacy state level, like WPEN, for example. But I think in most schools, it tends to end up just being like, oh, and we got cookies for the teacher. Yay, we're celebrating you.
Question so. Then is, so we, what's the difference in between Teacher Appreciation Day and week and Public Schools Week? Because in, I think some people are going mm-hmm. like, I remember Tim and Johnny talking about, hey, it's Teacher Appreciation. And we said that we brought up that topic very much going like, isn't it time that we stop just having, quote, Appreciation Day? You know, when are we going to actually do something that shows appreciation? But Public Schools Week, up, Papa Rico, don't forget about more cookies. Yeah, you got to buy more cookies and pizza, Papa Rico.
Right.
We love that. It's always there. But Joanna, what does Public Schools Week mean to teach Joanna?
Well, okay, you are right. There is a difference between, there's like National Education Week, that's in like November. There's Teacher Appreciation, which I think is in like May. And I think now we have Public Schools Week, which is at the end of February. Public Schools Week is specifically about celebrating public education, because there is also, I think, a Charter Schools Week somewhere in the winter.
Ooh.
And so it's a Public Schools Week is specifically for, you know, to acknowledge and celebrate the reach of our public schools. What it means to me personally is I actually really never know, like for all of those weeks, I never really know that it's happening until right. Like you see an email or someone shares a screenshot of a Facebook post. So I think that they are attempts to draw attention. But yeah, I don't have a big story to tell because, of course, I support people supporting education and public education, but it could be time to maybe look beyond, like we said, like labeling a week or kind of like these small gestures. And, you know, maybe we could look at what it would really look like to support public education.
Okay, what if, there it is, Johnny, right there. What if we really meant this is Public Schools Week? What should we be doing during Public Schools Week? Let's put it out there to the listener right there. 844-967-2789. This is Public Schools Week. What should we be doing to celebrate, to lift up, to talk about, to emphasize the importance of public schools as we're in this week? You know, we do appreciate Wisconsin Public Education Network for putting this forward, putting it out there. But I think so many times we have these, as you say, they're kind of like special weeks. They're fun. And what do they really mean? And Hallie, I love, you know, other than I get to spend $5 to $20 to see if I can wear jeans on Fridays and things like that. Or as Papa Rico says, you got to do some kind of bake sale, some kind of sandwich sale. They become kind of, in a sense, really just one more normal day where somebody gets to put on a bumper and sticker and says, I support public schools, right? I support public schools. Okay, great. Do you really? If that's you out there and you're like, what? I love Public Schools Week. Tell us about it. What are you supposed to be doing? We want to know, because that's what we do on Busted Pencils. Hey, it's Public Schools Day every day on Busted
every day.
Pencils. Every day. Monday, right. Tuesday, Wednesday,
all
Thursday,
day,
Friday. There we go. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully led at Education Talk. It's Educators Amplified in the House. Wednesday, the number is 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. What should we be doing for Public Schools Week? When we get back, we're going to be taking your calls. Busted Pencils, back in a minute. For more.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show. Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations filled with mean-spirited rhetoric? It's time to listen and engage. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfine, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on The Buzz of the North, WBZH, and the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. This is The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Don't you be pulling that wool over my eyes. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education on Wednesdays, Educators Amplified in the house. I don't know how much more educated educators talking education you can get than that.
Right.
Although we got L.A. Tom on the line. Oh, yeah. L.A. Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government and not the corporations, and we must never forget that, and we must wake up and get money out of politics. What I want to say is that just like we the people are the government, we the people are the public education. And the thing is, it can't just be about me, I. It's about we. I don't know about listeners out there, but I would think when you hear, you know, the song We Are the World, that actually makes you feel good. It makes you feel good when everyone's working on the same team and everybody's working together. And you know, I just think that we need to start making the majority, and the majority, the minority. And we need to start phrasing it in terms of, you know what, it feels really good to work with other people and come up with some type of solution that we all come together and, you know, bring for the country, for the world, for the education. Also, I really think it's important during this public education week is that we talk about public education, opening the doors for every single type of person out there, whether they're handicapped, whether they're, you know, whatever. The public school is a place for every single person to come into and learn. And I think we also need to just stop and get once again and tell people the way that schools are funded are by the tax, property taxes. And that is not an equitable situation, because in some areas of Wisconsin, as an example, you have very high more property taxes because you have, you know, better homes or better properties, better locations, so you're going to have a better public education.
There, L.A. Tom, we know what we appreciate it. Johnny Lupinacci, you're down there. You know, we've got a little surprise you put there in the chat for everybody. But Johnny, L.A. Tom right there with this, you know, Public Education Week every day. But the whole idea of emphasizing the public and what public means, serving all. I think we've
kind of the undertone of all of our conversations. Like you said, Tim, it's Public Education Week every week here on this hour when we're talking, because without public schools, right, we really don't have a democracy. It is, we've said it before, it is the bedrock. It is the foundation. I mean, it is the ground soil of democracy. Mm-hmm. It is where we learn to be together and to be our best together. And like democracy, it's an ongoing experiment that is part of government responsibility. And Tom reminds us of that. Whose democracy is it? It's our democracy. It's all of our democracies. And so whose schools are they? They're all of our schools. So when we point fingers like that school district over there or that school, I mean, those are all our schools. That's the beauty of public education. So it's always public education week. And it's important to note within that, that we've moved away from understanding that as a basic right and need. I mean, it's an investment on the future that that ought to be non-negotiable. Like, we can talk about how to do it, but not whether or not it should be funded, right? Because yeah, that's one way of just saying, like, if we don't fund it properly, it's setting it up to fail. And that's like taking a pee in your topsoil of the food you're, you know, just don't do that. No, we
just don't do that. Teacher Allie's like, wow, I don't think I'm going to eat this. I'm not going to eat tomatoes out of my backyard this summer, knowing Johnny Lupinacci was around.
I said that's a bad metaphor because that's actually probably not true. There's probably all kinds of humanure stuff we could get into. We talked about school gardens and food yesterday, and we don't need to make it that complicated. Although we are getting Dr. Ethan, our science guy, in soon, so maybe we can loop him back around onto some food stuff later. But back to like public education, right? You know, LA Tom brought up that the danger of when it becomes a marketplace or it becomes a corporate interest battle and not a public discussion of public good. And the good news of that is public education is very much public democracy. I mean, it very much is the embodiment of democracy. And so even though we're here saying, man, it needs more, that's the clarion call of a good democracy. Like, hey, we need more participation because it's there. There's lots of ways to get involved. There's all kinds of things to do to support public schools all the time. And this week is like a reminder. You know, it's like when we talked about it's Black History Month. It's the last days of Black History Month. That doesn't mean we stop caring about Black history, right? Mm-hmm. Or that we only cared about it for this month. But it's important because it reminds us that without something like this, there are people who might not pay attention to it at all. So it sort of nudges us, right? I'm glad this is like a birthday. I'm glad that we get a year, you know, older each year, a year wiser, and we celebrate it. But also remember, celebrate all those people close to you all the time, right? Because you value them all the time, extra on their birthday, but all the time. And so Public Schools Week, we're just giving extra shouts out and love to public schools all week long, but also always.
It makes me think, though, too, when we're saying you so much related to democracy and Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna here, the health then of our democracy, if we can look at then the health of our public schools and the people that occupy those, I'd say right now, from what I understand about the need for teachers, the teacher shortage, or as I've called it for years, the teacher exodus, something's going on in our public schools right now that would indicate that the health of democracy, the health of our public schools is a bit of something in turmoil, because the teachers, Teacher Hallie, what do you say about the state of teachers in our public schools?
Oh, they are in bad, bad shape. Is how I would say it.
Okay.
Just because of the, I mean, I'm kind of sitting here and reflecting, and what the parallel I get, I, you know, peeing in someone's garden is a good analogy, but also, you know, it, this just reminds me of the lip service we would give nurses during COVID by calling them heroes. You know, like that whole rhetoric. That's what this reminds me of a bit as an educator, of like, when teachers aren't treated like professionals, when teachers really are just kind of like told what to do, it's very compliance filled, it's demoralizing. And so while I understand the appreciation is good, I'm also like, but the day-to-day is so bad that it's even hard to even receive the appreciation or even like, I guess, take it serious. Because I'm like, right, the appreciation is a Facebook post, or the appreciation is a lunch. It's not like my working conditions actively getting better or being treated like a professional.
It's not enough.
It's not enough. Okay, Johnny Lupinacci in the chat room there. If schools are the life force of democracy, and like water is to life, what's the poison in the well? Oh,
wait, water, I hear Tim.
What do I hear? What do I hear there in the background? I hear that. Oh.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The city of Janesville is planning to buy the site of the former GM plant to try to revive development there. The plant was closed in 2008 and demolished 10 years later. All that's there now is 250 acres of concrete debris and contaminated soil. City officials say they'll spend the next year gathering information and community input. It's been more than a week now since anyone's seen 3-year-old Elijah Vu from Two Rivers. His grandmother made an emotional plea at a press conference this week.
I want my grandson to be home, raise my family. So I want everybody to continue. Don't stop.
His mother and her boyfriend are in jail on child neglect charges. There's a $15,000 reward for information that helps find Elijah. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Duluth Mayor Roger Reinhart has announced some potential solutions to what residents say is a dangerous stretch of road on West Skyline Parkway. Two people were killed in the area of the 1500 block of West Skyline Parkway in February, which prompted residents to call for city officials to do something to make the intersection safer. Mayor Reinhart proposed a few ideas to do that, including flashing lights on the stop signs, a mobile speed monitor along the road, and adding bump strips to force cars to slow down in the area. A piece of land on Duluth's waterfront that's been empty for a couple decades has a new future. According to a Northern News Now report, the land, known as Lot D, between Pier B Resort and the Compass Minerals facility on the Duluth Harbor will soon be developed. The city of Duluth entered into an agreement with a developer who says there will be two buildings with about 250 apartment units in each. The developers are also working to bring in a hotel, breweries, public space, and other upgrades to the area. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Almaz Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Are you curious to see what a Liam Neeson movie where they don't threaten his family looks like? Your wish has been granted. The action star will play the lead in a reboot of the film Naked Gun next summer. The original Naked Gun from the files of Police Squad was written and produced by a trio of Wisconsinites, including the Zucker Brothers and Jim Abrams. The film was released in 1988 and starred Leslie Nielsen. The Naked Gun reboot is set for release July 18th, 2025. In somewhat famous person news, Carmen Electra has legally changed her name to Carmen Electra. The actress told the Today Show recently that her real name is Tara Lee Patrick. She says while auditioning for a Prince project, he looked at her and said, "You're not a Tara, you're a Carmen," then later told her Electra should be her name. Of course, she took his advice. The man is a genius. But frankly, any of those are better than Mrs. Dennis Rodman. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a clear sky and lows in the upper 20s. Sunny and warmer into tomorrow, a high in the low 50s. And continued warming into this weekend with sunshine and mid-50s expected on Saturday. Low 60s, partly sunny and windy Sunday. Right now it's 33.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
There comes a time when we hit a certain call, when the world must come together as one.
I think that is Biebs.
Wow.
The world. It is.
That's what I think. I think it's Biebs.
Ding, ding, ding. That is correct. That is one Justin Bieber opening us up.
Justin Bieber. We are the world. Well,
no.
No, we are Busted Pencils. We are Educators Amplified. And it numbers 844-967-2789. Having a little fun there with We Are the World. It was the 80s version and then the 2010 version. But there we are. We are the world. Public schools. I mean, that's the thing. The foundation of democracy. It's Public Schools Week, Wisconsin. You know, the celebration, the admiration, whatever you want to do. And I left this, though, kind of going, however, if public schools are the foundation of our democracy, then our democracy's in trouble right now, particularly when we look at schools and the people who, you know, I don't want to say anyone's any more important than any other one person, but the teachers are not in good shape. Hallie, Joanna, you were talking about this. Joanna, tell teachers, what's going on?
Well, I have been saying my number one issue for several years has honestly been the health of teachers and the health of the educators who are working in schools. They are doing a great job of making it seem like they're okay, but there are very few people who are really okay. And what I mean by that is, you know, having real energy, literally, you know, remaining physically healthy because of the amount of stress that they're under and that the way that our work is designed. So, I mean, again, I sound like bummer on Public Education Week because on one hand, the reality is that, and it is to a level that it is really hard for people to understand. Like you and people who leave feel this weight lifted, or they can feel the difference, like I said, in their body and in their mind. So yeah, it's, you know, we like to do a lot of external things, like I say, in education, like, right, we have a celebration planned, or we are going to buy this thing. But what we really need to do is pay attention to the internals and the human elements of what is happening in our profession. You know, so when we, that's another show we'll talk about another time, of like when we hear about the solutions, you know, they're very based. And the problem is deeply internal. And so, yeah, unfortunately, if you know a teacher, they're probably not in a great spot or feeling as good as they should.
No. Hey, Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Just look at that. Hey, Jack, what's happening, our friend?
Well, given this is the week that it is, I would simply say that everyone who is in a school district that has a referendum, and there are dozens throughout Wisconsin, many of them will need the money just to reopen in the fall, vote in favor of passing that referendum.
Yes.
And that will give you this great deal. Your students will actually get a boost of maybe 1/10 of the amount of money that our legislators in Wisconsin gave away as welfare to private schools which by the way didn't come from people wanting to tax themselves. That came from already paid taxes and the surplus that we have in the state. This is an outrageous situation that should never have been allowed to happen, and unfortunately, it has. So there's my.
Well, there it is. If we really want to support Public Education Week or Public Education Day every day the way we should right now, the biggest thing you as a citizen who's going to take civic action by listening to Busted Pencils on civic media, vote in favor of those referendums. Teacher Hallie, I made you smile on that.
Yeah, you did.
But I want to say the state of teachers, here's an issue, you know, statistics, right? Teachers, we used to say, you know, after 5 years, how many new teachers are still teaching after 5 years? And one of the, you know, statistic maybe 10 years ago was, you know, a little, actually, this is pretty sad, but maybe 40% of new teachers are done within the first 5 years. 40%. Okay. Now, this is now 10 years later. It's now like within the first 3 years, there's a 50% casualty rate. 50% casualty rate after 3 years of being a teacher. And so, talking about Public Schools Week, I'm really worried about Public Schools Week, day, anything, when teachers aren't able to stay in the profession longer than 3 years. And that is not a comment on saying that the teachers themselves have something wrong that they can't stay there. What is it that's driving them out, Hallie?
Well, it's interesting because while you were talking, I was thinking about, like, you know, right, if I was your neighbor, how could I support, you know, like really, what could I do? And then from my lens as Teacher Hallie, I'm like, I feel like there is this like mismatch of like people just don't know how bad it is in schools. So then I'll feel like I need to tell people about that. But then your neighbor will be like, why are you always complaining? The teachers are always complaining. You know, like there's this weird catch 22 that we're in. And I guess something just super small would be realizing that like teachers really have like zero say in their day, in their schedule, in how things go. And yet I feel societally we hear like, oh, teachers have another day off, or oh, teachers, what do teachers even do? You know, and kind of trying to help people get to the point of like, you know, questioning more from a space of like, how does this system operate? You know, like we need these things in our society. We need public schools. So how as a society can we support this system better? That's what I was thinking about while you were talking.
Teacher Hallie, teach.
Teach right there. And then we got a text from Jim from Appleton pointing out transportation service peoples, school bus drivers, all of these people, canaries in the coal mine, because there is a shortage, right? There is not just a shortage of teachers. There's a shortage of all of the people that support our public schools, which in a week of public schools, some form of celebrating or holding them up to realize, and I know, Hallie, that we potentially worry about coming across as too negative and not putting forth the solution. But the reality is here, if we're going to have Public Schools Week, we need to point out that if they are that important to democracy, which they are, right, then the idea that there are shortages of any one person to serve the needs of our children, the children, then we've got some things to do here besides declaring things like Public Schools Week. What are we doing to support public schools? What are you doing out there to support public schools, listeners? 844-967-2789. Johnny Lupinacci, I don't know. I'm just, you know, kind of getting a little frustrated.
I get frustrated, but I get excited too. I mean, one, I'm just distracted and excited by Jack from Merrimack, Jim from Appleton. We got some nice rhyme and flow to our callers tonight. Love that. I do. I love it. So slightly distracted, the ADD kicks in. But I love that, you know, one of the things that we're coming back to is when we do have something celebratory like public education month or week, right? We were talking about Black History Month, Public Education Week, and that a big piece of those efforts are not just only political by nature of the content, but they're about advocacy and they're about action. And so I don't even see it as negative. We keep saying like, well, we're being negative. I think it's really positive. It's really good that we're talking about these things, especially, I mean, I had to leave teaching because of health issues, right? Mm-hmm. And it's been a constant battle of like how to be and model good teaching that your body can actually sustain. Because what I knew as good teaching, flashback to like new math teacher, Escalante is inspired, right? Book was one of the other books, like Teach Like Your Hair is on Fire. Yeah. All these different efforts that I emulated and I understood and embodied as good teaching, and it was effective, except I don't know.
It's not sustainable.
No, I mean, it just was destructive to my body. It was, and I actually didn't light anything on fire, but the insides of my body, like our human systems can't sustain. And I love that teacher Joanna brought that up, our health as teachers. Mm-hmm. And I like that, you know, Jim from Appleton brought in that aspect. It's not just teachers. We're talking a lot about teachers because that's our primary entry point, but it's people working in schools. And that reminds me also, Educators Amplified so often reminds us it's everybody in the schools. When we talk about regulation and the right to being in a place that's healthy, it's not just students and teachers. It's students, teachers, bus drivers, you know, office support, all of the cafeteria folks. We talked about food yesterday, all of that. Don't even tell me, Tim, is this Papa Rico on the line?
It is. Papa Rico. He's calling now. He's off the texting and calling. Papa Rico, what's up? What's happening, man?
Hey. How are you guys doing? Hey. Loving the show. I love this show. I love this show. You know, I can relate very well. My ex, but we've become friends because we share children and grandchildren together.
Yes, sir. I love that.
She started out long before she took her education, when we were starting out in life, and she took care of a young child with Down syndrome. Hmm. Very intense. And then she put herself through school after our divorce at Whitewater College, and then had to spend five years in the Beloit school system, not where she wanted to be, because we're mostly closer to the Janesville area. And then now she is finally after, and then this is ironic that you say, all these people are burning out by 3 and 5 or whatever. It's like she did 5 years. 5 years in what I would have called one of the harder school districts in our Rock County area, and survived that just to get into the Janesville school district. Oh. And, you know,
Teacher Joanna, go ahead, Papa.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead. I'd love to hear.
I saw Teacher Joanna there looking like she had a comment for Papa Rico there. So Joanna, go for it. No, look at that. And we got Joanna. She's on a little bit of a technological glitch right now. So Papa Rico, keep going where you were going with that.
Okay. Now I'm back on that beeping thing messes me up. Hey,
that's okay.
Now, I've thrown out some comments on a live feed tonight, you know, and the whole damn school system, me, is ironic. You know, it's like, we got to send these kids, they got to sell cookies and pizzas, and you know I've alluded to that. And you know what? I actually enjoy a damn... Hey, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I actually enjoy an occasional chocolate chip cookie. Papa's not the greatest cook, and it's pretty damned easy, okay? But you know what? I'm thinking to myself, Why? And I've texted, and you've seen my text tonight on the live stream. Why wouldn't we go back to the old school days and bring Teach an apple or a kiwi or a banana? Something healthy.
You must have been listening to the show last night too, Papa Rico, because Johnny Lupinacci was all over about the fact that if we're going to talk about food, it's got to be healthy food. Man, the stuff is interacting back and forth. The number's 844-967-2789. It's Busted Pencils. Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, Public Schools Week. Great callers. When we get back, hey, what are you doing to support public education? Might as well listen.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on The Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
The Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Yeah. Yes. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number's 844-967-2789. Public Schools Week, Educators Amplified, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie in the house every Wednesday. Teacher Hallie, though, Papa Rico was made a comment about the fundraising, and it's you have an issue. Put your issue out there, Teacher Hallie.
Yeah, you know, what keeps popping up in my life for some reason is this concept of like private companies or private entities used to fundraise for public goods. And I guess it's something that, I don't know, it's because it's in my face right now, I'm taking time to reflect on it and how I have issue with it because, right, we're talking about that schools and public schools specifically serve this, our communities and our democracy. And so why is it required to have all these fundraisers in order for, you know, kids to have necessities in their schools? Like, that is my bigger issue, that I think, you know, we've talked about referendums and we talk about not getting the money we need from state legislation. And yet, why aren't we putting together that, like, right, we have to fundraise because we're not getting the funding we need, you know? And so while I think it's, you know, sure, kids are learning things maybe when they're going out and fundraising, I'm like, the requirement of it, just, I have an issue with.
Well, we said when fundraising becomes Joanna, go ahead.
And do the more for less, which is then leads back to the health thing of like why people are burning out. So we're fundraising for like what people consider the special fun things, which again should just be things that kids can do, you know, when they're sponsored by their school
trips.
Like these are things that should just, it's part of it. Yep. But then also we're asking everybody who's inside to do more for less, and it's literally taking a physical and mental toll.
That's right.
Despite all of that, I do really think about how much there is to celebrate, because I am amazed at what is happening and what does happen. And sometimes it's like being a great teacher. It's like sometimes to your own detriment, you know, like principal walks in, sees it all going great. And they're just like, wow, she's really good. And it makes it look easy. And you and I both know that, Hallie, how complex and intricate and sophisticated it really is to have a beautiful classroom community where everybody's engaged in learning. And so I think that's kind of the, you know, so there's lots of magic happening out here in our schools. And so I wanted to ask you guys, when you think about celebrating public education, can you think of something or a story you would tell what you are seeing like now that you would call out to shout out or celebrate?
Teacher Johnny, go for it.
Anyone?
Oh, you want me to go first? I think right off the top of my head, it's, you know, this week I got to spend a lot of time with new teachers. I teach teachers, and I got to visit a lot of classrooms and work with teachers for a sad reason, but I'm inspired by how they're teaching. But we're working on, as social studies educators, how to teach about what's happening in Gaza and to teach about genocide and to teach about history, but also difficult things that are happening right now at developmentally appropriate ways with young learners, because kids are scared and they really should be. There's a lot of scary stuff happening in the world, important for them to know about. So I'm inspired by teachers out there who are acknowledging that this is happening. They're bearing witness to genocide and they're teaching about it in really thoughtful ways that I got to see young people moved deeply in a way where I know those kids are going to stand up for human rights as they grow up, right? And I knew that, like, seeing the lessons that teachers are out there teaching. So I'm inspired by teachers out there who are figuring out how to teach difficult, sometimes controversial things in really age-appropriate ways and that are advocates of children everywhere. So I think that the teachers I get to see all the time, they're these strong advocates of children everywhere. And I'll tell you, it brought me to tears twice this week, and it's inspiring, and I want to celebrate it because it is certainly the life force of good education are those teachers out there doing that good, like Teacher Joanna said, hard, but good work.
So mine, I put this inspiring. There is a superintendent that I work with and just breaks the norm on typically what we say. The biggest advocate of public education, the biggest advocate of the children in his school district, the biggest advocate of his teachers, seeing that, like, there's a model of what it means to be a leader who's in support of public education, able to, in the last 3 years, get his valedictorians to commit to coming back as Grow Your Own Teachers in his own program. His three last valedictorians went to college to become teachers with a commitment to come back to the school district right there, the top of the class. So the ability to inspire, it's there to put that in. This is a small rural school district, and that ability to kind of self, you know, put out there how crucial it is to be supportive. And then he walks that all the time. He shows that he doesn't just talk. He literally puts out his public support for public education by investing in everything he can. The idea, though, that he has been able to convince three of his best students to go out to become teachers in the middle of a teacher exodus crisis. Awesome stuff. That's what I got to say.
And sure. I'll say that, you know, what I really know is that, like, doing Educators Amplified, working with you all, you know, I'm always concentrated on how can we make public schools even better. And I really connect with teachers and, you know, I'm a big champion for them. But my big shout out or what I'm celebrating is, as much as I know teachers are in bad, bad shape, you know, when I went today to go pick up my daughter from, you know, like walk up, like I walk her to school and home, just like seeing at least 50 K four through second graders with big smiles on their faces, you know, you know, I'm just celebrating that like, despite all the things that teachers are going through, kids are walking out smiling. And I think that that's a big deal, that kids are still able to enjoy learning despite things that are going on around them.
Well, they continue to work all those Joanna.
And I celebrate all the love. All the love that I see. It's in the little hugs among the kids themselves, from teacher to student, from teacher to teacher. There is a lot of love in these buildings, and it is something I celebrate, the love that I have access to in my job as a public educator.
Celebrating the love every Wednesday. It's Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna. Tomorrow, though, our own astrophysicist.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. By working with my oncologist, we were able to determine the most appropriate treatment plan. My fear was I wasn't going to be here to see my children grow up. That gave me hope, knowing that I have that chance, and I did. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger, a Massachusetts National Guard member accused of leaking classified military documents and